We're trying to get, there you go.
Amen.
Okay. Praise the Lord. And we just light those candles when somebody comes to know the Lord to celebrate, because when one person comes to know the Lord, the angels in heaven throw a party. Amen. Amen? That's what Scripture says. There's great rejoicing in heaven when one soul comes to know the Lord. Amen. Well, folks, Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz had it right. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And she had it right. And certainly for the Christian, there's no place like home. I'll tell you, for the first 21 years of my life, I called home Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, Pennsylvania is a wonderful state. I call Pennsylvania the Holy Land. And I tell you, all you people from West Virginia, they call West Virginia almost heaven because it's next to Pennsylvania. I have one person clapping. There you go. All right, we got some Pennsylvaniaites over here. And you know, I called Pittsburgh my home. And you know what? I have a special place for Pittsburgh in my heart. And there's a team there that I kind of like. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, I have to say, a couple weeks ago, I almost converted to being a Browns fan. Not. I always had a very special place for Pittsburgh in my life. That's where I grew up. That's what I called home. And then Linda and I got married. We moved to Detroit. But you know, when we lived in Detroit for 3 years, we'd always talk about going home. Going home. We're going home for Christmas because, you know what, Pittsburgh was still our home. And then we moved to Chicago, and we were there for 4 years. But while we were in Chicago, we'd always talk about going home because that's where we were raised, that's where we came up, and that was home. Now we moved from Chicago to here. And when we came here, we bought a little house and on 231 Lincoln Avenue. And we've lived in that house. Next year, it'll be 30 years. And you know what, folks? Now, that's my home. That's my home. That's what I call home now. That's it's special to me. And I don't know, as I get older, I don't know, there's no place like home. I go on vacations. This is crazy. I go to a really nice place on vacation, and I can't wait to get home. Anybody feel like that? I don't know, there's nothing like my bed. My pillow. In fact, I take my pillow wherever I go. I just got to take my pillow. I can't sleep on those rocks that they have in those hotels. I can't do it. And I go someplace that's a nice place and everything, but I can't wait to get home. Well, I'll tell you what, for the Christian, there's no place like home. Because you know what? We have a heavenly home that's waiting for us. Just like the hymn writer put it, "This world just ain't my home, I'm the passing through. My home is laid up somewhere on the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." And you don't know this verse, so I'll just say it. "They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior's pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." I'll tell you what, we got a great home to go to. There's no place like home. And I'll tell you what, our heavenly home is out of this world. And it's my privilege today, our privilege today, to take a look at what's in store for us in our heavenly home. Take your Bibles, turn them to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read 21 down through 22:5. So we might as well stretch our legs a little bit. Why don't you just stand up? Stand up. If somebody's sleeping beside you, wake them up and get them standing. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be among them, and he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death, and there shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give you to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. And he who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and the immoral persons and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all the liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And listen to this description. And one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I'll show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her brilliance was like very costly stone, a stone of crystal clear jasper. It had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as its great as its width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. And he measured its walls 72 yards according to human measurements, which, by the way, are also angelic measurements. And the material of the wall was jasper, and the city was like pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation stone was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. And in the daytime, for there shall be no night there, its gates shall never be closed, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his bondservants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall no longer be any night, and they shall not have need of the light of a lamp, nor of the light of the sun, because the Lord God shall illumine them, and they shall reign forever and ever. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Man, this is about our heaven. You may be seated. If you want to stand, if you can't, just, if you're so excited you got to stand up, stand up. This is about our heavenly home. I just want to share with you today six things about where the Christian is going to end up. First of all, number one, found in verses 1 through 5, it is a new place, a new place. If you look in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 21, the word new appears four times in five verses. It doesn't mean new as far as time. It means new as far as quality, as far as character. And in verse 1, we find there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. A new heavens and new earth. Jesus told us about this, didn't he? He said, heaven and earth will what? Pass away. This heaven, these heavens, this earth, one day are going to pass away. Peter writes about it in 2 Peter in chapter 3. He says these words, the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. And I'll tell you what, one day this earth, these heavens will dissolve, will pass away. And then Jesus is going to make a new heavens and a new earth. Now, I don't know if he's going to take the elements of the old heaven and old earth and kind of reform them, or if he's just going to do away with them and creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing, create a new heavens and a new earth, but he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. You say, well, why does he have to do that? Well, why can't we just live on this earth and with these heavens? You know why? Because sin. Sin of man has polluted the earth. The sin of man has even affected the heavens, such that it says that God said that the heavens themselves are not clean in my sight. Job 15:15. Sin of man has polluted this earth and the heavens such that now creation groans, awaiting for the redemption of the children of God. Our sin has affected this earth and polluted it and polluted the heavens. So Jesus Christ, one day, God is going to dissolve this earth and dissolve these heavens and make a new heavens and a new earth. Now there's also in verse 2, look at it. There's not only new heavens and new earth, but there's a new Jerusalem. And folks, this is going to be our heavenly home. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And in verse 4, we see it tells us what's not going to be in that place. What's not going to be in that place. It says God will wipe away every what? Every tear. And I just happen to believe that our resurrection bodies, that we, one thing we're not going to have, we're not going to have tear ducts. Because he's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There's no longer going to be any mourning, no crying, no pain. Folks, so there'll be no longer any mourning, no sadness in heaven. No sadness at all. There will not be any crying, no pain. There's no cancer in heaven. There's no Alzheimer's in heaven. There's no arthritis in heaven. None of that stuff. There's no pain in heaven. It's just true joy and pleasure. Because of there's going to be none of these things, I believe there's going to no army in heaven. Now, we're part of the Lord's army right now. And actually, when he comes back to this earth, the armies of heaven follow him. But once we get to the eternal state, no armies anymore. There's not going to be any police. I don't know, is my son Timmy here today? I don't know if he made it or not, but he's into criminal justice over at Kent State, and he's studying all that stuff, and, you know, we're going to be in the eternal state, and he's not going to be able to use that. No police, no armies, no police, no doctors. Dr. Lewis, I'm sorry. You're out of a job once we get to heaven because there's no disease up there. No, you're not getting, I don't know what you, there'll be something for you to do, I'm sure. Amen? Amen. He's amen. No doctors. There's no disease, no lawyers. No tax collectors. No politicians. Yes. Oh, this is going to be a good place. All these things. There's not going to, no more weathermen, because the weather's going to be perfect. And no more 50% chance. No more funeral directors. No more morticians, because no death, no cemetery workers. There's no more auto mechanics. Is Jimmy here today? Jimmy didn't make it today. Jimmy Tidwell's an auto mechanic. He'd be out of a job up in heaven, because no, my chariot's never going to break down. It's never going to rust. It's going to be a great place. This is going to be a totally new, beyond our wildest dreams. I'll tell you, in fact, look at verse 5. It says, he will make what? All things new. Not just a new heavens and a new earth, not just a new Jerusalem, but all things new. We're going to be in a place where things neither rust, bust, nor gather dust. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a beautiful place. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful place, a new place. And that leads us to number 2. It's going to be a beautiful place. It's going to be a beautiful place. It's described in verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says that it's made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And now, I'll tell you, I've been doing weddings. Pastor Tim, I've been doing weddings 30 years. 30 years. Just did one, 3 weeks ago? Sherina White and Trevor Wood. I came, and you know what? In 30 years of doing weddings, I have never seen an ugly bride. I'll tell you, when the bride, I'll tell you, is just beautiful. I usually come, I go back in this room back here with the groom. I feel sorry for the groom. I have to admit this. I really do, because nobody wants to see the groom. Well, I take that back. There's one person who wants to see the groom. His mama. That's the only one that wants to see the groom. Everybody wants to see the bride. I mean, when Judy started playing the bridal march, where's Judy? Someplace, there she is. She started playing that bridal march, and what happens? Everybody stands, and everybody looks where? At the groom. No, everybody wants to see the bride. Everybody wants to see the bride. And I have a privilege of seeing something you usually don't see, because usually you're looking back there. I look down, I peek, and look down at the groom and see his face when that bride comes out. And, you know, how man, look at her. Wow. I'm going to tell you what, I have never seen an ugly bride. Now, I have seen some women before they got married. And after they got married, now wonder if it's the same one that walked down the aisle. But I think God does something on the wedding day to make that bride look good. And you know what? It says that this place is going to be adorned like a bride adorned for her husband. And in verses 10 through 21, it's described as adorned with precious jewels and metal. And you look there, it says how beautiful. Wow! The walls are jasper, crystal clear like diamonds. The city itself is pure gold, as clear as a crystal. Foundations are garnished with jasper, a stone like a diamond. Sapphires, which is a blue stone. Chalcedony, which is probably greenish blue. Emerald, which is green. Sardonyx, which is a white stone with streaked with brown. Sardius, which is a red stone. Chrysolite, which is a yellow quartz. Beryl, which is green. Topaz, which is yellow and green. Chrysopas, which some think is golden tinted with stone with like an apple colored green, a jacinth, which is probably blue, an amethyst, which is a rich purple and or a blue red. All these stones, these beautiful emeralds and gems are going to adorn the city. And the gates are pearls. You know, we talk about the pearly gates. That's where it comes from, right here. One pearl is the gate. Imagine that. Imagine how beautiful. Can you imagine how beautiful this is? And the streets. You've heard this, I'm sure, but you heard about the guy that was nearing the end of his life. And he started praying to God. And he said, God, I know we're not supposed to take it with us. But I want to ask you, I want to take some of my wealth with me to heaven. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed so hard. Finally, God came and said, okay, I'll let you take some of your wealth with you. You can take one suitcase full of wealth. You've heard this. But I think it's so good. So he died. And he takes his suitcase and he walks up to the pearly gates. And he met there by St. Peter. St. Peter said, well, what do you got there? And he said, well, I've got some of my wealth. I want to bring it in. He said, you can't bring that in. Not allowed to bring that in. He said, wait a second. I prayed about this, and God told me I could bring some of my wealth in. And he filled his briefcase, his suitcase, full of gold bullion. And he's there. He said, well, you sure? He said, yeah, God told me I could bring this in. He said, well, would you mind if I looked in your case? And he said, no. And he opened the case, and he said, wow, that's even stranger. Why would you want to bring pavement to heaven? Because in heaven, did you see that? The streets are what? Gold. Golden streets. Can you imagine how beautiful this is? I'll tell you what, there is not much description of heaven in Scripture. I think that's for a couple reasons. This is the greatest or most extensive description of heaven in all the Bible. You don't find it anyplace else. Why is that? Number one, it's indescribable in human terms. There's just no way to describe the beauty of what we're going to experience as Christians when we get to heaven. There's a second reason. I think if God would truly open up our minds to what's in heaven, we'd probably...
take the bridge.
We couldn't wait. We couldn't wait to get there. It's a beautiful place. Number three, it's a holy place. It's a holy place. Again, in verse 2, it talks about it's called the holy city. You see, I saw a holy city. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the holy city. You know, I thought about that. You know what, folks? Think about the cities down here. When you think about the inner city, what do you think about? Anything but holy, right? I mean, you think about sin. You think about darkness, evil, but not this city. Not this city. This city is a holy city. You know why it's holy? Because of its residents. You see, when we get up to heaven, when those who are saved get to heaven, we're going to be holy just as he is holy. We're going to be perfect. I know that's hard for you to look at me and believe that. And it's hard for me to look at you and believe that. But you are. And I am. And it's holy because we will be holy like the Lord. But not only is it holy, called a holy city. But it's a holy place because unsaved sinners will have no part in this city. Look at verse 8. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then over in verse 27, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it. There will be no more sin. There will be no sin in heaven. Amen. We will not have sin natures when we get to heaven. Amen. I'll tell you what, I can get excited about that. No more battle. No more being disgusted with myself. No more falling down. I'll tell you what, there'll be no sin in heaven. No sin. Praise God. Can you imagine a place with no sin? Oh, man, I'll tell you what, I feel like getting the bus up together right now. And, you know, I'll tell you what, What a place. Number four, it's going to be a satisfying place. A satisfying place. Every need will be met in heaven. And, you know, when I thought of this, I thought back to my school days. I don't usually do that, but I thought back to my psychology class where they taught, is it Maslow's hierarchy of needs? And you start off with, you know, the basic needs that everybody has, you know, like for food and water and air and, you know, stuff like that. And then you go up to the next level of needs and all the way up to the top. But I thought about, you know what? Every need is going to be met when we get to heaven. All of our physical needs will be met. Food, clothing, shelter. You see, verse 6 says, it says that he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. I will give one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. It's not going to cost you anything. If you have a need, if you have a thirst, God's going to meet that need without any cost. It won't cost us anything. He'll clothe us, folks, with heavenly garments, with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we will not have to eat. But I got good news for you, Baptist. We'll be able to eat. Yeah, amen. Amen. I heard those amens. There's food in heaven. And you're all, amen. You can say amen. 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 There's food in heaven. There's a tree of life that bears fruit all year. And it brings forth its fruit. And you can eat in heaven. We're going to a banquet. We're going to the wedding feast of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to eat in heaven. You can eat. And I got good news. The food in heaven is without calories or cholesterol. And you know what? It's going to taste good. Did you ever notice that all the ones that don't have calories and don't have cholesterol, they taste terrible. And all the good stuff is, well, and in heaven, it's not going to be like that. And I don't know this for sure, but I think there'll be coffee in heaven. Amen. I'm not sure, but I think there will be. Amen, Ernie?
Amen.
Amen. All our physical needs will be met. All our emotional needs will be met. Security. This city has walls that are 216 feet high. 216 feet high. I asked him, why does it have walls? Why walls? Since the gates are going to be open day and night. I mean, no, not day and night because there's no night. It's going to be opened all the time. The gates are going to be open. Why walls? Well, I just think perhaps the walls must symbolize security, protection, no need to fear. We are secure. There's, you know, another thing, there's not any in heaven. There's no locks in heaven. Some of you are old enough. I mean, I'm not that old enough to for this. Remember when you didn't lock your doors at night? Remember when you, back in the olden days when some of those older people didn't lock their doors? I can remember that, actually. My mom and dad told me about it. we didn't lock our doors. But I tell you, it got to a point, you know what? We started locking our doors at night. Linda, Timmy came in last night, went in front door, out front door, said, didn't lock the door, Les. Lock the door before we go. I tell you, no locks in heaven. No need for them. No need for them. Security. And there's going to be love. Everyone needs, you know what? Everyone needs to feel loved. I don't care who you are. You need to feel loved. And in heaven, there's going to be perfect love. And perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love. God is going to love us. We're going to love him. I'll tell you, you know, down here, we need love. By the way, if you're a Christian, you don't have to like me, but you got to love me. I heard those amens. You know, and if you don't love me, you know what's going to happen if you're a real Christian? I really think this is true. God's going to make me your neighbor up in heaven. And you'll have to love me when we get up in heaven. But you know what? When we get up there, perfect love, our emotional needs will be met. Our physical needs will be met. And folks, our spiritual needs will be met. And that's going to lead me to number five. It's a glorious God-filled place. Glorious God-filled place. It's a place of glory. Verse 11, having the glory of God. Verse 23, and the city has no need of the sun or the moon or the shine upon it, for the glory of God has illumined it. Verse 24, and the nation shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it. Verse 26, and they shall bring the glory of the honor of the nations into it. This is going to be a glorious place. The glory of God is manifested in heaven. The glory of God is all his attributes. It's called in the Old Testament the Shekinah. Shekinah glory. And it's going to be manifested in heaven. What a glorious place. Therefore, we'll have no need of light. Verses 23, verse 24, verse 25. It will be a place of intense light. You know what? I'm going to a true confession. My family hates light. I said my family. I didn't say me. I get up in the morning like any sane person. And I go out and I flip all the lights on. I just turn all the lights on. I mean, you're getting up. You got to get the lights on, right? And I always would say to my family, they'd say, turn those lights off. Get the lights off. Oh, oh. You know, they're all. And I'd just tell them, you're just children of darkness. You're just all children of darkness, you know. And one day, I go out. I'm turning on the lights. And Linda comes, oh, get those lights off. Get those lights off. And I said, you know, you're a children of darkness, Linda. Child of darkness, Linda. She said, turn those lights off. I said, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? It's a place of intense light. And she looked at me and she said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have resurrection eyeballs. Get those lights off. Well, it's a place of intense light. Can you imagine? Did you ever go to a jeweler's and you get those gems and they always put the light on and they sparkle? Can you imagine what it's going to look like with all those gems that we read about? And then God's Shekinah glory all throughout, the sparkle, it's just beyond our imagination. And it's a place where God is. Where God is. This is the place where God's presence is most acutely manifested. And in his presence, in the presence of the Lord, there's exceeding joy and joys and pleasures forevermore. God the Father and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, are on the throne. It says in chapter 21, verse 3, it says, for God himself shall be among them. God himself, the Holy Spirit, will permeate every nook and cranny of heaven. And look at chapter 22, verse 4. Chapter 22, verse 4. And here it is, folks. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads. They shall see his face. We are going to look into the face of the living God. Amen. Look into his face. And that is really what makes heaven heaven. Because that's where Jesus is. That's what makes heaven heaven. God is there. We will have intimate fellowship with him. Face to face. You remember what the hymn writer wrote? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Only faintly now I see him, with darkling veil between. But a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. What rejoicing in his presence. When our banished grief and pain, when the crooked way is straightened and the dark things shall be plain, face to face, oh blissful moment, face to face, to see and know face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. Wow. That's home. That's home. Six. This place, heaven, it's a prepared place for a prepared people. Look at chapter 21, verse 2. Did you see what it said there? Again, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God and prepared, made ready, prepared. This is a prepared place. Jesus told us that in John 14, 1 and 2. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare you a place. Heaven is a prepared place. And let me just, I'm going to say this a little differently. It's a prepared place. And it's a prepared place. You say, well, what's the difference? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Our eternal home is not a state of mind. It is not a feeling. It's not a fairy tale or a figment of imagination. It is a real place. You say, how do you know? Because in chapter 21, verses 16 and 17, John takes its measurements. And you can't measure a state of mind. You can't measure something that's not real. And he measures it. And it's 1,500 miles high, long, and deep. It's measured. It's a place. Heaven is a prepared place. So is hell. That's what Jesus said. He said one day, people are going to stand before him and he's going to say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the lake of fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. God never prepared hell for people. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. People will go to hell, but it's not because God wants them there. He didn't prepare hell for people. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. He's preparing heaven for us. For those who know his son. For those who are prepared. You see, it's a prepared place for a prepared people. It says in verse 7 of chapter 21, he who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Note the personal pronouns. He that overcomes shall inherit all these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You see, every individual has to prepare to go to heaven. Every individual has to prepare, without exception. And who is the one who overcomes? In the King James Version, verse 24 tells us, it says there, and the nations, them that are saved. Now, it's left out of my translation. I like the King James there. Tells us who it is. The ones who overcome are the ones who have been saved. It's the ones who have come to the knowledge that God came in the person of Jesus and died on a cross and took the wrath of God upon himself. Punishment that I deserve for my sins, he took, and he died, and he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again, and he's a living Savior. And I turn from my way, I repent, and I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm saved. And when that happens, what transpires, folks, is in verse 27 of chapter 21, my name is written in the Lamb's book of life with the indelible ink of the blood of Jesus. You see, that's how you prepare to go to heaven. You get saved. Like that little girl, like little Amber, like this little four-year-old that said, I want Jesus in my heart. You see, that is the ticket, the only ticket that gets us into heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And you know, that makes all the difference when it comes to death. There was a little girl, and it was starting to get dark. And she came to a cemetery, and there was an old man sitting there. And she started to walk into the cemetery, and the old man said, little girl, it's getting dark. Aren't you afraid to go into that cemetery? She said, oh no, my home is just on the other side. Folks, we don't have to fear death if you're a Christian, because you know why? Our home's just on the other side. I want to tell you, folks, Dorothy had it right. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. In fact, I'm going to go one step further. The Holy Spirit had it right. And John had it right when he wrote chapter 21 and 22 of the book of Revelation. There's, say it with me, no place like home. Let's pray. Lord.